There would be a minimum number of Prosecco bottles provided, or Cava, and the ASDEP DG would smile limply and thank him for loyal service. Beside Jonas, a crisp packet was crumpled and dropped, and it blew against his foot. Another wriggling movement, and an arm reached across him, and he saw the face of a young man. And the litter was picked up, and there was a faint, grated apology. Not to worry. Those he worked with were that evening on a high, because there had been a good eyeball on the targets meeting with an additional tango, and that seemed to link two surveillance targets, a big step forward. And it had been a difficult follow, with both subjects employing intelligent tradecraft procedures. The team had thought themselves, he did not mind mild vulgarity, the bee's bollocks. He had 20 minutes to kill. Beside him, the crisp packet was pocketed, and a wristwatch studied, as if the boy with whom he shared the bench was also checking a schedule. None of them coming back into the work area after the successful eyeball, and photographs to go with it, had acknowledged Jonas's part in the good outcome. The ASDEP DG's appearance would be token. His colleagues would be there a bare minimum of time. He was hurt. Bruised. Did he make a difference? Not in anyone else's eyes. Would he be missed? No. Was credit ever given him? No. He had only seen the face of the boy beside him for a moment, but he had started to plumb deep into that mine of facial features and biographies that his memory carried. They had been Irish when he had started, then Cold War diplomats and couriers from Eastern Europe. But now the operations of A4 were almost exclusively aimed at the jihadis. Originally, it had been intended to give him a self-assembly greenhouse, but he'd heard a rumour that such a purchase would outstrip the budget available. He would be presented with a John Lewis voucher as a reward for a lifetime at the security service. He knew the face, recognised him, could put a name to it, and a mother's address, and an age.
It's Winston, yes?
He heard the suck of breath beside him, and a head that had been held low jerked up. The moment coincided with headlights U-turning in the traffic and catching the burgers on their plinth, lingering on the boy's face, then moving on. Quite an interesting moment for Jonas. Back where he worked, where just a few more minutes of employment existed, the sight of Winston Gunn, son of Ben Gunn, a Caucasian lorry driver, and Farida, Quetta born of solid Pakistani stock, and a very fractured family as a result of a pregnancy with a white-skinned Briton, would register interest. Dad was long gone. Mum had brought up the boy, listed as resentful, hostile to the world around him. Excellent recruiting material. Jonas doubted that any of the other analysts in the work area would have identified the boy's olive-coloured features without rifling through a laptop's archive.
Bit off your beaten track, Winston?
And back there, in that work area, if they knew, there would have been an organisational stampede at the presence of young Winston, supposedly drawn into the activist net while serving 18 months imprisonment, theft with violence in HMP Pentonville, within a stone's throw or a hand grenade from the Palace of Westminster, Mother of Parliaments, the beating heart of democracy. All that crap. Ringed now with dragon's teeth, the barricades of concrete, and police clutching H&K machine pistols, the illuminated edifices represented the high-value target of the nation's government. No chance Winston's presence was innocent. They'd be calling up additional firearms units, alerting the ambulance service, warning ministers, planning evacuations, and demanding the immediate presence of the psychology team and behavioural experts. How to proceed? It would be battered around.